Greetings in the name of Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning and worship together. I appreciated the devotional. I have a book on my shelf at home. It's called The Upside Down Kingdom. And it's a book about Jesus Christ, the Gospels. There's so many things about Jesus Christ and the gospel message that is upside down to a world that we're living in. And that's just the relating to those with special needs is just one of those areas. And as soon as we move away from the doctrine of God's word, it starts to affect how we look at life, and we come across very different. Those who live for themselves and live for this world have a different goal, a different way of getting to the goal, and often seem to be moving in an opposite direction to what a Christian is moving. The carnal impulses and thoughts of our lives are in contradiction to what the gospel preaches. Well, I don't know what you're expecting for a message this morning. Maybe you are expecting a New Year's message, a message of how to make resolutions and how to keep them throughout the year. But it's not going to be that this morning. As I was thinking about what to preach, I think this is the third time I came to our congregation here in the last month and was prepared to preach and ended up not preaching, one because of weather and another because of a visitor. So it's a privilege to preach to you this morning. Also, it's special because of our plans. But I don't want to make this about me this morning. As I thought about the passing of one year and the beginning of a new year, as I thought about my class, that one of my classes is the foundations from Genesis, and I thought about foundations, and I thought about a new year, and I thought about foundations, and my mind went one direction, and that's to Jesus Christ. I want to preach Jesus Christ to you this morning. How can I encourage you to use 2026 for Jesus? The title of the message is found in Revelation 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, verse 8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." There is Jesus Christ himself telling us that he is Alpha and Omega. The title of the message is Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega is A and Z in Greek. That's what it means. It means eternity. It's a reference to deity. This title cannot be taken on by any mortal man, any mortal person. This title is given four times in the book of Revelation. Revelation, in three verses later, he repeats it, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Here, and this is a little bit different. The other is the beginning and the ending. Here's the first and the last. We think about the passing of time. Last evening, we were doing some reminiscing about how the 2020s compare to the 1970s and the 1980s, which is my frame of reference. And we talked about how life is different. That was a good trip for me to go down memory lane and think about the temptations of the modern culture in 2026. And to compare that with my beginnings of my Christian walk in the 1980s. And there's differences. We still have the same mind that's bent toward carnality. the same mind that needs to be corrected, needs to be turned and curved toward God. There's similarities, there's differences, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We want to look at him this morning. We want to search him out. How can we increase our love for Jesus in 2026? We know, number one, is that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And we find this in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of God. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher. Jesus is the author. He was with God at creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He is A. He was there with God. He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, we know he came to earth through the incarnation process. We don't understand that. We accept it by faith. But his own birth, his suffering and death and resurrection is a starting point, it's a starting point for the gospel message. We know that the gospel message, of course, it was foretold. But it started with Jesus coming, giving his life. Colossians 1:16 and 18 says, "For by him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." And it goes on to say, he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is A. Jesus Christ has a preeminence. But what about me? Who am I? Where am I in relation to Christ? He is the author and the finisher. The context here in Hebrews 2 is of a race. And we're all running a race this morning. We've begun. We're all alive here, so that the physical race has begun for us. Those of us who have chosen Christ, from the newest among us to the oldest Christian here, are running this race. But Jesus is the finisher. What does that mean? Jesus creates us. Through him we have salvation. And through his grace we can finish our race and receive eternal life. Someday life will be over. Each one of us at some point will draw our last breath and our life story will be finished. But our life story depends on what we do with Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Is Jesus the author of your life story? Of my life story, is he the author? Have you had a spiritual beginning? Have you been born again? You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he had a question. He said, "How can a man be born again?" Jesus said, "Ye must be born again. It's not possible for us to grow up in Christian homes and to comfortably settle into the Christian experience without experiencing a death and reborn experience, a time where a place where that happens, where that begins. Ye must be born again. Do not begin the new year without the new birth. Do not begin the new year without the new birth. If you're here this morning and you have not if you have not been born again, don't begin the year. This is the first thing. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The first. Thinking about the beginning of the year and the first things and the most important thing. You know, nothing else really matters. It's more important than your first car, your first truck, or your first bank account, or your first savings account, or your first, you go in and fill in the blank. It's more important than all those things. don't begin a new year without the new birth. You can turn to Luke chapter 5. Be willing to launch out into the deep. This is a story here, and I know there's different ways of looking at these verses. I preached a message on this one time, and I was challenged by that's what I preached was not what these verses are teaching. But I guess I refuse to back down on that. I mean, I understand the perspective, and I think there's two ways we can look at this. But I feel that there's some things here that spoke to me. Luke 5, 1 to 11, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Be willing to launch out into the deep. Be willing to go all the way with Jesus. And I know you can look at this from the perspective of mission work and let down our nets and catch men, which is also in focus. But I think Jesus was also saying something else here. And I asked the question, what hinders you from launching out into the deep? And I don't know where your mind goes with that. It could go to beginning the Christian life. It could go to something that God has been laying on your heart, a work to do, a relationship to build. Maybe it's going to Bible school for the first time. I don't know what it all is. But Jesus told Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. So what hinders us from doing this? And one of the big ones is the cost of following Christ. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's a lot. That is everything. Most prospective disciples don't want to do this. They don't want to give it all up. They want to hang on to this sin, this habit, this fear, this whatever it is. They don't want to give it all up. The cost is too high. So they continue on. Why don't we launch out into the deep? Maybe it's the unknown. Maybe we just don't know. It's fearful. The deep. Launch out into the deep. The deep is scary. It's dark. It's foreboding. It's lonely. So we don't go all the way. We don't see the load of fish, the draft. That's what that means. We don't see the load of fish that God has waiting for us. We don't see the blessings. We don't because we're blinded by the fear. And Satan's doing that. Satan's doing that. Maybe the fear speaks to us like this. It's like, what will others say? I think Simon was a little embarrassed here. because Simon knew, I'm kind of putting this into my own words, but I think Simon was like, Jesus, you don't know what, you're not a fisherman. This is not the right time to go and drop your nets. The fish aren't there now. Jesus, you don't know what you're doing. What are the other fishermen? I mean, just the lake of Sea of Galilee was, there was probably fishing companies and boats all the way around, you know, and it was like, what in the world is Simon going out for now? I don't know. But Simon did say, we were doing this all night, Lord. You weren't out there with us. You didn't see. You don't understand. Of course, Jesus does understand. But these disciples were new in the faith. They didn't understand. But Jesus is calling you this morning to something. And it might look dark. It might look fearful. You might wonder what others will say. But go. Launch out. Launch out. Maybe it was just laziness. Says verse 2, they were, you know, the fishing was tiresome, dragging those big nets. Just tiresome, but they were washing them. Maybe that's easier. I don't know. I'm not a fisherman like that. Nets do need clean, but a catch doesn't happen when nets are not in the water. That's just the way it is. Maybe they do need mended. Jesus said, let down your nets. Maybe it's procrastination. Sometime. It'll be in 6 months. It'll be in a month. It'll be next year. Not this year. Because I want to have more time for myself. I want to have more time for my sin, for my habit, whatever it is. Jesus says, launch out. See, this is our life story. This is what it's all about. Walking with Jesus, loving Jesus in 2026. Make Jesus number one in your life today because he is number one, isn't he? He's the Alpha and Omega. A little more practical. How is Jesus Alpha and Omega today? We've been already saying that, but a little more directly. Not only is Jesus the author of our faith, he's the finisher. None of us have finished our course, but we're all in the process of finishing it. Or at least we need to be ready to finish it. And like Brother Johnny said, it could be in 2026. Well, it could be today. We might not ever get to Bible school. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But in the middle, between the author, the beginning, and the finishing, between A and Z, if you will, which is where we are right now, how is Jesus? Is Jesus number one in your life? What does that look like for you today? Was he the first thought you had as you woke this morning? Or what was it? Are you a Christian first and a husband, wife, father, mother, mechanic, farmer second? There was a story in the news this past week on this new mayor of New York City. He's a Muslim, and he was sworn in he used a Quran to get sworn in. And some commentators were very critical of that. Like, well, why did he use a Quran? Well, the fact of the matter is he's a good Muslim. And so he's putting his religion first. That's kind of what we expect, which is, incidentally, it's why you can't be a true Christian and a politician at the same time, because if you're a true Christian, then you're not going to be a good politician. If you need to be a politician, that needs to be number one. Mamdani, or however you say his name, is being a good Muslim. That's all right. That's that world. But am I a Christian first? Is Jesus Christ number one? Am I a Christian first in times of stress, in times of social pressure, in times of peer pressure, when things go wrong? Or do I let myself out first? Or if I'm number one, and then I need to do fix up because things go out of whack? And we live in busy lives. Turn a couple pages to Luke chapter 10. We have the short account there of, yes, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now, I don't want to read too much more into this and what's there, but Mary chose number one. Martha was focusing on number two. That word cumbered means, I just read a little devotional-like thing this morning, and it said that the word, that a definition of that Greek word could mean something like pulled in several directions at once. And as I observed the 2020s in comparison to the 1970s and 80s, we're pulled in a lot of directions. We have devices all around us, and we carry them in our pockets, and maybe even inside the church building, which I'm trying not to do. But it's very easy to live in a couple different worlds at once. You know, we live in our world, our family, and if we're not careful, we're living in several different worlds at the same time with our social media, with our connections, and with these worlds. And what that does is it pulls us in a lot of different directions at once. And we're very cumbered about a lot of things. And I know we can't turn the clock back. I wish I could do that. To some of you, whatever you 20-year-olds are, I forget what generation that's called, but it doesn't matter. But whatever you are, I sure wish I could give you a little window into the 1970s and 80s. When the phone would ring and you had to listen to the ring to know if it was for you or not. And your only connection to the I'm going off my notes here. But the only connection you had to the outside world was when you physically got in your car and drove somewhere, or you talked to someone on the telephone, but you had to make sure that no one else was on the line before you tried to call. Or you read your newspaper, the things that came in the mail. The postal service was very important because it circled letters and all those things of connection. That's how you connected. The circles were much farther apart. We're squishing a lot of circles right at smack together. And we get very cumbered. In 2026, how can we focus on Jesus and keep him number one? How can Jesus fill your net in 2026? And there's could be another message starting right now, and we don't have that time. I just have a couple thoughts. Having Jesus fill your net brings a sense of calmness to your life. I was with a customer a week ago, and we were talking about it. Another customer, the one that was talking to me was actually referred this other customer to me, and he was talking about him. And he said he's such a calm man, and I He's at peace with his world. I think that's because he's at peace with his maker. But when Jesus fills your net, it brings a sense of calmness as you relate to life. And turn to Luke. We're in Luke here. Just turn back a page or so to Luke 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass in a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake," and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Jesus calms the storms and the troubled waters. Not that Christians no longer face storms, but their soul is at rest. You know, Jesus was asleep. I found that ironic, that Jesus was asleep. The disciples could have been at rest too. I don't know if they could have been asleep. But they could have been at rest. And we face storms, but are you at rest? There could be a couple different reasons why we don't have rest. If we have sin in our lives, it brings unrest, it brings strife, it brings a tortured conscience, it brings negative thought patterns and bondage. And Jesus offers freedom from sin. Jesus will cleanse you from that. But there's also natural storms. Think Job. The winds and waves can wreck our ships, but they cannot wreck our soul if Jesus is in our boat. Can you and I sleep or rest in Jesus through the storms of 2026? Matthew's account of this says there was a great calm. It was a great calm. How can Jesus fill your net in 2026? Number two is love. And I picked out a couple references to that. I believe the song we sang at the end of Sunday school was just an excellent song, and I don't remember what it was right now, but Jesus brings love. The capacity to receive and give love. And for this, we go to the Gospel of John, and I don't think we're going to, for the sake of time, we're not going to turn there. But John 3:16, Jesus, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. But it's interesting studying the book of John, the Gospel of John, with the focus of love. And watch the progression. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Jesus said in John 15, verse 9 and 10, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Notice on New Year's Day, my wife and my grandson were playing dominoes, set them up, and this is like a domino effect. It's just like God's love for the world was poured out on Jesus. Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then he goes on in verse 12 to say, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Another domino falls, you see. God loves the world. God poured out his love on his Son. His Son suffered and died for us because he loved us. And we go out and love one another. These are powerful words, and they're not new words to you. But 2026 is a new year, a new test for you to live this out. It's a test for me. Where did Jesus' love for man take him? Think about that. Where did Jesus' love for man take him? It took him to a cross. It took him to death. Am I willing to go to the cross for someone that hates me? How about a family member or a friend that just irritates me? Am I willing to go to death to love that person? I was going to, maybe I still will. Turn to John. I'm not going to make many comments here. I do want to read part of Jesus' prayer for us. I want to somehow put this in the context of where we find ourselves this morning and in this beginning of the new year. Jesus' own words. Because this is called, in my Bible, it says Jesus' prayer for his disciples. And if you're his disciple this morning, Jesus is praying here for you. So as we read these verses, and I don't know how to, some of you are very tired this morning, and I can understand that. I feel it myself. Maybe we'll all stand, and I know this is going to be, this might take a while, but you can stand. Those who can, those who care to, we're going to read these verses. We'll read every other verse to help to rivet these truths in our mind. We'll start at verse 6 and we'll read to verse 26. This might take a while, but just think about the words. I'm not going to make comments on them, but let's read every other verse. I'll read a verse and then you read together in unison. And we'll get through here, and I have just a couple closing thoughts. Jesus said, John 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me.
I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine.
And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father,
while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
And now I come unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
I give them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shalt see them from the evil.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
And they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me.
Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me.
And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You may be seated. That's Jesus' prayer for you. That's Jesus' prayer for us as we go into this coming year. He will be there. He will be faithful. He will guide you if you allow him into your boat and allow him to take you into the deep. If you are committed to Jesus Christ being first in your life in 2026, that means that everything else must be second place. When we stand before him, what will he say about 2025 and 2026? Will he say about your life that he was number one? What will you say? Will he say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or will he say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? What will you do with Jesus in 2026? Neutral you cannot be. And that's a question that I leave you with as we are absent one from another for the next several weeks. May our love for each other grow, and may we all be connected to each other via not the internet, but our love for our Savior. May he be that link that holds our hearts together, and may we be faithful till he comes for us. Let's kneel for prayer.